a new education trend that's rooted in the past. I'm Tom Shine, and welcome to a special back-to-school edition of The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCown Gordon and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
There's a growing trend in education, and you could say it's a step back in time. More Kansas families are leaving traditional public or private schools and opting instead for microschools. They serve small groups of students in a one-room schoolhouse-type atmosphere. The Wichita School District launched its own microschool last year, and leaders say the experiment has been a success. Suzanne Perez looks at how Creative Minds Academy is expanding and gaining national attention.
You're gonna click photos.
What do I do?
On the first day of school last year, Wichita teacher Olivia Sumner welcomed more than a dozen students from kindergarten through sixth grade. Using handheld devices, the kids took pictures of themselves and one another as part of a Getting to Know You project.
Hey, my friends, if you're not already in camera, click the circle on the side of your screen that is black, and then you're going to find the camera.
This glass-walled classroom inside the Learning Lab space in downtown Wichita is an experiment in learning, a K-6 microschool developed and operated by Wichita Public Schools. Last summer, the district reached out to several families who were planning to pull their kids out of Wichita schools. Some were headed to private or religious-based schools, others to homeschool. They changed their minds and instead enrolled at Creative Minds Academy. Rob Dixon oversees Wichita's virtual school and helped launch the new micro school.
And so we targeted those families to find out, like, all right, what was it? What was the reason you exited Wichita Public Schools? Could we, you know, entice you to come back, and what would that look like?
To start, it looked like 15 students with one teacher in a modern-day one-room schoolhouse. The district pays Learning Lab $6,000 a year to rent space inside the converted Union Station building, where the students have access to a podcast studio, makerspace, print lab, and several common areas. They're also within walking distance of downtown parks, museums, and businesses. This fall, Creative Minds will more than double its enrollment, with two full-time teachers in two classrooms, and the school has a waiting list of families wanting to sign up. Dixon says it's part of an evolution in education.
We know that a traditional classroom is not the best environment for every student, and I think this is a way to think about a conversation back and forth with a family about what needs do you have in educating your child.
The COVID-19 pandemic boosted the microschool movement across the country as families sought alternatives during shutdowns and remote schooling. The trend has continued post-pandemic as part of a broader desire for educational choice. According to a recent analysis by the National Microschooling Center, microschools now serve an estimated 2% of the U.S. student population, or about 750,000 students. And increasingly, families don't even have to leave their public school to join the movement. Don Seufer is president of the National Center. He says educators have been some of the strongest advocates for microschools.
With microschooling, you really have the opportunity to truly create and operate and evolve and iterate a learning environment around the specific needs of the particular kids that you're serving, which is something that's very attractive to educators.
Oliver, let me show you. Come here, Olivia.
A typical day at Creative Minds Academy does not look like your average classroom. Art, music, and physical activity are incorporated into daily routines, and students collaborate on projects, as teacher Olivia Sumner explains.
Then the students could choose to write a song or produce a podcast, or maybe they're going to do interpretive dance to show their learning and write a caption about it afterwards.
When they do split up for math or reading lessons, the groups are divided based on skill, not grade levels. Here's Sumner again.
So I have a kindergartner working at the end of first grade. I have a fourth grader that's working on some second grade work before he hops back up, and anything in between. So whatever the student is at, they're not limited either direction.
Sumner says the atmosphere is more like a homeschool than a traditional classroom.
They have actually started calling themselves siblings. They say they don't feel like friends, they feel like siblings, because that's what it feels like when you've got that many different ages in one space. And so it does feel like it's navigating a family more than a classroom.
Lydia Hampton is managing director of the Learning Lab, which opened 2 years ago inside Wichita's Union Station. The site now houses public and private microschools, as well as homeschool co-ops and the first expansion of the Kahn Lab School outside of California. Hampton says Wichita's micro school experiment shows what can happen when public schools respond to parent demand.
It's a little bit of creative destruction in action, right? They recognize that our society is changing, that parents and families want something different, and they could have either stepped out and said, nope, or they could lean into the discomfort and do something about it.
Jasmine Henry enrolled her third-grade daughter, Giselle, in the Creative Minds Micro School as soon as she learned about it. Giselle will be a fourth grader at the school this year. As a public school teacher herself, Henry says she was impressed by the program's flexibility.
It just seemed like it was more creative, and she was going to have more choice on what she wants to do, and it got away from spending so much time on things she already knows, and she's just able to have a little bit more freedom.
Wichita Superintendent Kelly Bielefeld worked behind the scenes last fall to launch Creative Minds, which he calls a vertical school concept. His latest contract with the district includes a new agreement that the concept is Bielefeld's intellectual property. During an update for the school board in April, he said public schools need to try new approaches to stay relevant.
Some parents want flexibility and space. Some parents want, you know, the learner that needs the hands-on environment that can be challenging to do in a regular classroom. My hope would be we're always looking to the future to see what do kids and families want and desire, and making sure we are that opportunity for those families.
Over the past year, several national education groups and micro school advocates have toured Creative Minds and the other schools housed in the Learning Lab space. Don Seufer of the National Micro Schooling Center says Wichita is on the cutting edge of the movement.
What you've got there is a real gem that the community involved really values. And I think that that is going to have resonance, you know, nationally as it gains more attention and as it deserves.
For The Range, I'm Suzanne Perez.
And one last thing. 50 years ago this month, I started my senior year of high school, and members of the class of 1976 at Grosse Pointe South already are planning a 50th anniversary event for next year. I haven't been to a class reunion since 1986. Our name tags at that gathering included our senior photos. My lasting memory is talking with people while studying their pictures and realizing I had no idea who they were. We had about 500 kids in our class, so that's understandable. But if I couldn't recognize people 10 years after we graduated, what chance do I have after 50? I have wonderful memories from high school. I was sports editor of the paper my senior year, a member of the Foreign Exchange Club because we hosted a student from the Philippines, went to the prom in a powder blue tuxedo with a girl named Wally. I may not remember the names and faces anymore, but I will never forget those days. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Carly Cooper, Jonathan Huber, Beth Goulet, and Lou Ann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Phan, and Torn Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.